So, again, good morning. The siege on Jerusalem. It started today. And also, we are mourning on the translation of the Torah to Greek. And also, Ezra HaSofer, he died at this day. So, we're mourning about three things. The siege on Jerusalem, the translation of the Torah to Greek, and Ezra HaSofer. Ezra HaSofer is one of the second temple. He was the one who came in the back and built it. And Ezra and Nehemiah, the prophets. Okay. An interesting point is, does this have anything to do with the Parsha? Or is there a connection between Chanukah, Asara B'Tevet, and also the Parsha? Because, you know, as we always say, there is always a connection between what's written in Parashat Shavuah and really what's happening around us. It's all, everything is a lesson for us. So let's see what's happening here. The first question is, it's very strange that we are mourning about a translation of the Torah. Because we all know the Torah here today, Bakasha, is translated to so many languages, and nobody is doing a fast day or mourns about this. On the contrary, people are quite happy that the Torah is being translated. And also Moshe Rabbeinu, when he got into Israel, he wrote the Torah in 70 languages. So, what's the reason we're mourning on the translation of the Torah to Greek? The thing is that we all know, and we, by the way, it happens to us a lot here, that when we want to explain something that is written in the Torah, sometimes the translation
is lost.
It's not the same, and sometimes they're trying to fix it in explanation, but you know, it loses a lot of the meaning if you don't understand that the only meaning is in the Hebrew letters. So we understand already that there is a problem with the translation. So okay, so let's mourn on the translation. But we all understand that we need translation, because for people to understand what's written, not everybody understands the Hebrew. And Am Israel also themselves went all around the world. And they need to know the language, to understand what's written. By the way, the whole Gemara is written in Aramaic. So if we want to go... So what is the problem? The problem is very simple. Just now, 2 weeks ago, we finished Hanukkah. And Hanukkah was our fight against the Greek culture. And that is exactly translation of the Torah to Greek. Because the Greek believed in the body, I am the center, and everything here is to serve me. The Torah is the neshama. Let's say, you can call it very simple. The Torah is the neshama, and the Greek is the body. So if you take the neshama out of the Torah, what have you got? A body. And what is a body? And what is a body without a soul? Nothing. So now we start to understand the problem in translating the Torah to Greek. Because it's not the translation itself. It's the idea that what the Greek wanted is like to take this book and read it like a normal book. It's nothing in it. It's only what you understand from the outside. And this is the most terrible thing that can happen to the Torah. It's taking the soul of the Torah. Taking the neshama out. Now, what is this has to do with the siege? The siege, Rav Adam Sinai explains, he teaches Kabbalah, and he explains in a very interesting way. The siege is on the heart of Am Yisrael, which is Jerusalem and the temple. That's the heart of Am Yisrael. And the same thing is our heart. We have a siege on our heart. From where? From the Greek culture. From the translation of the Greek, the Torah translated to the Greek language. And now we start to understand what is it that combines the translation to Greek and the siege on the Bet HaMikdash, on the Jerusalem, to the same day. Now we start to understand there is a connection. And there is also a connection to what happened to us on Hanukkah. And as we talked last week, we're supposed to take the light of Hanukkah to the normal days. The problem is, we are in a siege. Because when we look outside, we see all the beautiful world and all the Greek culture, and it's very tempting. And it starts trying to siege us and break the walls and get into our heart. And this will mean that we lose our identity, we lose our soul. And this is, by the way, an interesting point. There is what we call the real me and the fake me. What does it mean? The real me is the neshama. That's the neshama. That's the real me. That's what I am. I've got a part from God inside me, in the hearing, in the brain. And the fake me is, I want all the pleasures of this world for me. That's the fake me. The fake me is the outside. The fake me is our desires for the flesh and blood. Nothing to do with the soul. And this is the fight. And this is what we have to do. We are built from flesh and blood and a soul. And our job is to control the flesh and blood, to control the body with our soul. That's what we're doing. And this is why we have to fight this siege and understand how terrible it is. And this is exactly the idea. Because you would think, what is a problem in translating the Torah to Greek? Why? It's beautiful. That's exactly the problem. You think it's beautiful. You look around you and you think about a lot of things that are beautiful and they're nice and you should do them, you should try them. And sometimes you miss the point. Sometimes instead you're losing your neshama. And it happens to people that run and go after desires and slowly but surely they lose it. The siege is finished, the walls are broken, and you find somebody that the only thing he knows is to eat something more, to drink something more, to have another joy, another thing, but inside, it's empty. It's nothing there. And it's a terrible thing. So now, we have this fight. So today we have Asara B'Tevet to remind us that the siege starts. There is no lights of Hanukkah anymore. The light has to be with us, inside us, and it has to shine, and we have to fight this siege that they will not get in with their own, all those strange ideas. What is this all connected to the Parsha? Okay. In our Parsha, a lot of things we can talk in our Parsha, but one of the interesting things is that Yaakov calls his children and tells them, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the end of days. In other words, I'm going to tell you when the Geula is going to come. Vayikra Yaakov el banav vayomer asfu ve'agida lachem et asher ikra etchem b'acharit hayamim. And then, we are waiting to see what is going to happen, and something strange is happening. He is starting to bless his children, his sons. So, where is the secret? Where is what you said you're going to tell us? When is going to be the Geula? When is going to be the end of all days? So Rashi says, he really wanted to say, but then the Ruach, the Holy Spirit left him, and he started blessing his children. Why? Because there is a Gemara that says, "Yitamu yikalu mechashvei kitzim." Those who make a calculation when the Geula is going to come, they should die. And this is very interesting, because we know people, very important people and tzaddikim, they did calculation and told us certain dates that the Geula is going to come. It didn't come. So, it was a problem. But now we have to understand and make a definition between two things. It's what's called Be'ita Achishena. The Geula will come Be'ita Achishena in two times. One time is the time that it should happen, and it doesn't matter what's going to be. If Am Yisrael are going to do tshuva, not going to do tshuva, they're going to be evil, they're going to be good, they're going to be... It doesn't matter. There is a date written up there, and at that date, the Geula will come. Then, there is another date. Achishena. Achishena, I will rush the time. In other words, if you do, in a certain time, the right things, I'm going to bring the Geula before the time. And all those calculations that were being made for the Gdoilim, for the Tzaddikim, they were on this Geula. Nobody is doing the calculation about the Geula that when it has to be like a date from God. Everybody is doing the calculation of the days that the Geula have the possibility or the option to come if we do the right thing. So what did Yaakov want to tell his children? Did he want to tell them the Geula, the real date? So then we understand why God didn't let him tell it. But maybe he wanted to tell them Achishena. How can they make the Geula come quicker? And by the way, says the Zohar HaKadosh, if the Torah is written in the Torah that Yaakov wanted to tell his children what's going to happen in the end of days, the Geula, when it's going to come, how it's going to come, and the Torah doesn't say that he didn't say it, so he said it. Where? Where did he say it? So now we have to understand why we cannot translate the words of the Torah and understand what we're going to talk about. E'asfu. That's we can understand. E'asfu, gather together. Ve'agida, I will tell you what's going to happen to you in the end of days. But agida in Hebrew is also aguda. Aguda achat. Aguda achat is to be together. In other words, this is the secret. This is what Yaakov Avinu is telling the children, telling to all of us. You want the Geula? What you have to do? Get together and be as one. Aguda achat. Okay. Yeah. So now, why right afterwards he is blessing his children? Is this something to do with what's going to happen on the end of days? Yes. Because what Yaakov is really doing is blessing his children in very strange blessings. If we look on Reuven, Yeter'et, Yeter'as, Pachas, Mama, you are, let's say, you've got a temper, and you work, you don't wait, you've got no patience, Pachas, Kamayim, Al Totar, and look what you did. Shimon ve'Levi, they have a blessing? It looks like a curse. Klei Hamas, Mechorotem, like, it's unbelievable. Shimon ve'Levi are weapons of violence, they're kinship. Oh, and let my soul not come into their counsel. And on and on and on. And it really, if somebody reads it, it doesn't sound like a blessing. But when we go to the end of the blessing, it's written very clearly. Kol ele shiftei Israel 12, those are the tribes of Israel, 12. Vezot asher diber elahem aviem, that's what the father talked to them. Vayevarech otam, and he blessed them. Ish asher kebirchato berech otam. Each one with his own blessing. So are they blessing or not? Clearly they are blessing. So let's understand. What is a blessing in telling your son, that he's got short temper, that he gets angry very quickly, and that he's doing things without thinking? Is this a blessing? I don't want to be mentioned with what you do. This is a blessing. But if you understand, try to understand what's going on here, we want that that's the greatest blessing that can be. What Yaakov Avinu is really doing, he's telling each one of his sons what are his problem, or let's say, what are his abilities, and what are his sore points, where is the problem? Because sometimes, you know, we want to do something, we want to do the right thing, but we don't know how, because we don't know what the problem is. So the first thing is to know what's the problem. So really what Yaakov is doing is giving the children a tool, the tools, to fight their nature, to understand, you Shimon and Levi, you've got this problem, fight it. Do good of it. And by the way, we see that eventually Levi took it to the highest level of holiness. And Shimon took it to the lower level of impurity with the Midianite girl from Shemeshim. So we see that you can use the same abilities, the same talents, the same nature, and do good, or al chas v'shalom, do bad. In other words, he's really telling his children, you see, If you want to get to the Geula, to the end of days, and bring the Geula home, you know what you have to do? Each one of you has to use his own tools, but, as he said in the end, ויברך אותם איש כברכתו ברך אותם. He was blessing each individual, but all of them together. In other words, he tells them, you know, the secret is very simple. אספו, get together, and be one, אגודה אחת. How do you do this? If each one of us is going to do his own job, don't look at the jobs of your fellow men. Do your own job. Use your own talent for the togetherness, to be together. That's when the Geula is going to come. And it's such a beautiful explanation about to understand what are all those blessings and what's the meaning of it. And by the way, when we're already talking about the blessing, in the beginning of the parsha, Yaakov Avinu is doing the same mistake he did with Joseph. He is blessing his grandchildren from Yosef, but he's not blessing any other grandchild. Only them, again, his favorite one on the others. How can this be? You already did the problem with Joseph, now you're doing it again. And nevertheless, also between the two, he's taking the oldest he's taking the youngest instead of the oldest. And Joseph is telling him, what are you doing, father? This is the oldest. He says, I know. What's going on here? So first of all, we have to understand, why are we blessing our children with this blessing? Becha yevarech Yisrael. That's what Yaakov is saying. Yevarechecha Hashem shmerecha. And how do we start? Yesimcha Elokim ke'Ephraim v'chimnashem. You're blessing your children. Yesimcha Elokim ke'Ephraim v'chimnashem. Why? Why from all the blessings we use this blessing? By the way, it's a very strange blessing. It says, v'idgu larov bekeret aretz. You will multiply like fish. But in the earth, how can it be? Fish don't multiply on soil. On earth, they multiply only in the water. If you take them out of the water, what happens? They die. So what is this strange blessing and what's going on here? What is going on here is the same story that what was Yaakov doing for those 17 years when he was in Egypt? For those 17 years, he was sitting with all his children and great-great children, all the family, and teaching them and giving them the tools that they will go through terrible times, and gave them the tools to do it in the right way. And this is the tools that gave us the strength to go through the Galut of Egypt and to go through all the Galuyot. That's the power that Yaakov gave us with a special education of those 17 years. And this brings us to Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe were raised up in a palace of Pharaoh. They were not raised up at the house of Yaakov. So they needed a special blessing. All the other grandchildren didn't need it because they were growing up with Yaakov. But those two children were growing up in the diaspora, in Egypt, in the most impure place in the world. So they needed a special blessing. And Ephraim needed a blessing more than Menashe, because Menashe was the firstborn. He still had maybe a little of the spirit of Yaakov, of the father, of the grandfather. But Ephraim was really into Egypt. So he needed a blessing more than Menashe. And why do we bless our children with this blessing? Because this blessing means that even if they will take us out of the water of the Torah and will be spread in places where it is impossible to live, we will multiply and we will still survive. This is Vayedgu Larov Bekerev Haaretz. Unbelievable. This is the meaning of multiplying in an impossible place. And the main thing is to understand that all of this can be done only if we do it together. The power to stand in the siege of the Greek culture, to do the right thing, to see the right light, is the power that we have from the blessing of Yaakov and what he's telling us. Get together and each one of you do his own job. And this reminds me, 2 years ago, I think, I had a flood in my warehouse and I couldn't supply the merchandise. And you know, some people understand it, some people didn't know, didn't want to know. Well, we don't, we'll cancel, we do this, we do that. And at that time, I learned a big lesson. Because you know, when things go right, you don't even understand what's going on. A business is not built from one thing. It's built from a lot of things. If I have a good salesman, but I haven't got stuff to sell, doesn't mean anything. If I have stuff to sell, but nobody to sell it, if I have a warehouse to hold the stuff, but there is nobody to take it out and deliver it, okay. If I have a lorry with no driver, okay. In other words, we need all those people in order to make a business. We need all those people to do each one of them, and it doesn't matter what the job is. Because the driver of the truck and the salesman in the office and the one is in charge on the warehouse and organize things and the schleppers, they are all a part of the business. And they're all important. And you need all of them. And that is exactly what Yaakov Avinu is telling us. Use your own talent. Each one of us got talent. We says, oh, who am I? What? You are needed. Because you got something that God gave you in order to help others. And this is this blessing that we always say, Borei nefashot rabot vechesronan, al kol ma shebarata leachyot b'ayim nefesh kol chai. This blessing we say after when we say Sha'akol, that's the last blessing, and it's a very interesting blessing. We say, you create soul with missing parts, missing things, chesronan, with the missing things. Is this a blessing? It sounds very strange. You telling God that he made something that is not whole, is not perfect, it's got problems. But what is the blessing tell us? Borei nefashot rabot vechesronan. Chesronan. And who is the one who is going to fulfill this part that is missing? Al kol ma shebarata lehachiyot b'hem nefesh kol chai. The whole creation is built on, I've got something that you need, you've got something that I need, and if we give to each other, then the whole thing is going, that's how God created the world. Borei nefashot rabot vechesronan al kol ma shebarata. It's all our job to fulfill what is missing to our friend. The same as our friend, his job is to fulfill what's missing to the other friend. Borei nefashot rabot al kol ma shebarata leachiyot b'hem nefesh kol chai. That's the only way that you are going to live in the proper way. So this is really the blessing of Yaakov. And this is really what God is telling us. Nobody is perfect. And it doesn't matter what is your talent. You are needed. Each one of us got a job. Doesn't matter how old he is. Doesn't matter where he is. And it doesn't matter what are his abilities. He is required to be a part of this big thing that is called Am Yisrael. And this is the first thing that we do, remembering on Asara B'Tevet, that there is a siege. The Greek culture is trying to convince us that you're only good if you have all the good things of the world. They're out wrong. You need the neshama. The neshama is the important part. And if one of us will understand it, and will take all our neshamas and do the right things in the eyes of God, and use our talent for each one of us, then, Bezrat Hashem, the Geulah will come.